Mr. Benedict is a real thing. Why did you have to go to Sungai Road to do your business?
It was a hot spot then, and well, everybody went there, so naturally I also followed suit. Of course, as I said, if we could find an area somewhere else or another client or clients, some other district, we'll carry our goods over there. But that usually be just one person to another, or one person to two persons, that's all.
For those cases, was it usually through someone's introduction?
That is correct.
For Sungai Road, it was just going there to get some business and contacts.
Well, people used to go there and buy things as well as sell things. So, I may not know you, I'll just approach you and ask you whether you wanted it, would you like it? And if he was interested, he used to pull me aside and bargain. And we used to try and play smart, try and look smart. Otherwise, they could see the look in our eyes and they just, you know, hook us for something very cheap. And from there, we found who our customers were. We didn't have, people like tourists coming down and all that. It was just people who knew, who could take this and go elsewhere and sell. Perhaps they used to go to Bukit Timah, go back there and sell it that at a different price. Or perhaps they wanted it for their own purpose. Like, if we did have canvas from the army, and of course there was a crowd of four or five who bring it there. This, of course, was usually bought over by people who wanted to make lean-tos for their shops, because that was good business. That was very good. But we couldn't go very far into camps. Camps were already been taken up by Japanese, so whatever we could salvage from these camps without the Japanese seeing or on the QT, then and only then did we have the opportunity of getting the canvas. Good canvas. Not PVC things.
So these businesses at Sungai Road were not pre-arranged?
No. If you felt like going, if we had the commodities, well, you just go. And if you hadn't any or just a little bit, well, go out and, you know, we knew our expertise grew, our clients grew, our friends grew, and if I couldn't do something on my own, is to meet these people usually in the evening or early at night, or maybe at Albert Street where we still always mix up, go to for our supper after playing music, and you know, we'll meet them and discuss.
More
business by selling at Sungai Road? It was a mixture of all. Where if we went out of our way to look for clients, okay. If we just had the clients coming to us, it was different. Or we had some recommendations over there, Ben, you go to a certain area. I'm too full up this afternoon. You go and see so and so, she or he may want to sell certain thing.
So both were about equal.
About equal.
What were the goods that you dealt in?
Well, normally there were mainly clothing. Anything made of cloth, whether it was shirts, trousers, bed sheets, curtains. If the curtains were cotton, you know, those days we had cotton curtains. And anything that could be used by the rag and bone man, I mean, anything that could be of some value, even if it was of little value by the buyer.
Where would you get all these goods from? The goods that you dealt
Well, we accepted anything that came our way. It all depended on our clients, of the people who wanted to sell things. Sometimes if we had information from Sungai Road that there was a great demand for a certain item, then we used to go out slowly, in a very discreetly. We go ask somebody, he says he might know it, or he may have it himself, and we'll make a little bargain, okay, I'll take it for so much. That is after I came to know the business very well. I knew that a good sarong would fetch about, we'll say, roughly $8. I'll bargain for $6, he may give it to me. I knew I could make $2 out of it, but I go there and ask for more. And maybe I come back with the same sarong and sell it 2 days later. I don't know. It all depended on what it was.
So you had to get the goods from someone and then sell it to another person, a sort of middleman?
No, we used to sell it, we used to hawk it, just like a hawker, in Sungai Road. We used to carry it, if we were alone, carry it ourselves, not a friend of mine or friends of mine would carry them, and we used to approach anybody that was walking around there. Invariably, they were all some sort of businessmen or business people.
But you had to get your goods from your clients, people who wanted to sell.
Yeah.
How did these people know who to approach? How did they know that they could ask you to sell for them?
Well, word went round, and these people invariably were ashamed to go, or they did not know the tactics, or they hadn't the time, or they had children to look after. And, well, word went round that we were doing it.
Were these people mainly your friends, or were they strangers?
Well, friends and recommended by friends. So they became our friends later on.
Would they usually set the price that they want?
They would set the price. And if it was fantastic, we would say, I think that's too much. Suppose we work between $10 and $15. And they'll say, okay, but try and get more. So we knew their circumstances. They needed $15. Okay, so we try and our best to get more. And it was quite brisk business. Quite a brisk business for us. On most days it was very good. There were days when there were hardly any clients around, hardly any buyers around, and so we used to go to the shops direct, and there we used to get stung because they had the overheads, we hadn't any.
You mean selling to the shops?
Selling to the shops in Sungai Road, all around that Sungai Road area.
You mentioned that you went to the shop to find out the prices. Would you sell higher or lower than the price in the shop?
But we had to use our discretion. If the buyers knew that they could get it and in better quality, not just strewn around like that from the shop, they would either say hang on, and we knew they would go to the shop and make inquiries and come back and bargain with us. It was a real, you know, hassle job. If I wanted to buy something, I said, I meet you and you got it. I said, okay, how? After finding the price and after bargaining, person may turn down, walk around, come back. After fishing out for the price and then come to some business.
Were your prices usually higher than that of the shops or lower?
They would vary sometimes, but in most cases I would say they were a little lower.
Why did you want to sell near the shops, especially when the customers could compare prices?
But because the customers were bright, they were very intelligent, they knew that if they go to the shop they would have to pay more, and because of their overheads and what have you, and so. And the thing is shoved in front of your eyes, look at it, you feel it, it's quite nice, and that's something you want. Okay.
Were there a lot of competition from other black marketers in this area?
Yes. And that's where we had some hoodlums going around. And we sort of knew who they were. If we didn't know, our friends would tell us, watch out, see that guy or those guys, they've got the same items you have for sale. So we used to mooch away from them. What transpired between them and the clients and the buyers, we never knew, but we just didn't like the looks on their faces. We were fairly well dressed, you know. And by dressing well, we sort of commanded it, you know, more respect. People would go to us, rather than go to them. If they went to them, they were very scruffily dressed. Perhaps the price would be low and they would buy from them. But it would have meant that they would have to examine it very thoroughly. Whereas our goods were, you know, well wrapped up. We had some sort of brown paper to wrap it in to give them, but these chaps had none. And in that way we sort of bought them over. There were some hoodlums, but there was no fighting, there was no shouting and things like that. We did our job smoothly, it went off smoothly, nicely and quietly.
Any unpleasant encounters with them?
No.
Was it a better, would you make a better profit if you were to sell it through a friend's recommendation? That means to go to somewhere else, to a person?
Unless there was a demand in that particular area, yes. Then, of course, we jack up our price. You know, that was simple, you know, common sense. If A wanted it, and we knew that A would want it very badly because A wanted to bring it to Malaysia or to Indonesia, okay, then we jack up our price.
Did you usually have a lot of goods to sell at one time?
No, if we went solo, we made sure we were able to carry the goods on our bicycle and strap it behind in a basket or with it, whatever it was, and not too much, because when we had to show the customers, it would invariably be, you know, they want to look at all, and it might drop and get dirty or it may get stolen. So we made sure that we didn't add up too many of our things. Just on the quiet, tell them, look, I got a few good shirts, I got bed sheets, I got towels. Ah, towels, that's right, that's another thing. It was a very great demand. At that time, it was clothing.
Did you have any unpleasant experiences with the customers?
No. If they didn't want, we used to try and entice them by using some sweet words. And that's all.
Who were these customers? Their background?
Oh, it was hard to say. Many of them themselves were middlemen. Some of them were shop owners, not in that area particularly, elsewhere. Or it's just that it could be someone from the house, from the home, who just wanted something like that.
All in Japanese currency.
Usually
when your clients wanted to sell something, they give you a deadline?
No. Unless we couldn't make it, we'd bring it back and show it to them. And say, we didn't get very good prices and all the business was not so brisk. Do you want it back? I'll come to it tomorrow, or you leave it with us. And invariably, they left it with us. And they trusted us, you see.
When did you take up this business?
Whilst I was still an oiler and grass cutter, I don't know which one, but either one or both of them, in Newton area, whilst I was staying in Newton.
Why did you decide to take up this line?
Some money coming in. and make use of my time. Otherwise, I had the afternoon off, you see, doing nothing. I would have found something. I think those days I never slept in the afternoon. So, there's a chance to make money. So why not?
Was it very widespread? Did a lot of people engage in this business?
Yes. In the beginning, you could say there were quite a lot of people who either wanted some money or who had the goods to sell. But more invariably, people were looking for food.
Was it risky, especially when you're dealing with strangers?
That was a kind of a code of ethics around there, that if you did your business well, you went home well. If there was any misunderstanding, it was usually with one or two drunkards around there, and people would normally come to your assistance at that time. Later, I don't know, but as I said, we did see any bad heads. We thought they were bad heads. Through our friend's recommendation, we'll just move away from that particular area till they had sold their products and gone, and then we would return.
At that time, were all of you afraid of people who might inform the Japanese of your activities?
We were not afraid, because there was no cause for it. Even if the Japanese came, they would have bought from us, for all you know.
What was the Japanese attitude towards this?
I wouldn't know, because they never came to that area, and they were not concerned. They were more, at that time, they were more concerned with the renovation of the island there, you know, seeing that the health department was doing well, the food, and there were no spies going around. They were not concerned with us. Only after dark, maybe, if we were mushing around there, maybe, or if there was any fight, perhaps they would have taken action and screened out that area. But no, they were not in the least bothered, from what we can see, could have seen.
Did you hear of cases of people being detained or arrested by the Japanese for dealing in...
No, unless they were involved in some stolen property. You see, unless there was news that certain things were stolen from the Japanese camps, and it's a possibility of those items being sold in that particular area, Sungai Road, yes. Otherwise, no.
Did you hear of any case?
No.
Besides clothing, did you know what were the other goods that were most common in the black market?
No. At my time, during my time, it was only mainly clothing. There were other goods I can't remember at this moment, but mostly goods, clothing.
Did you know of people dealing with street currency?
Oh yes, but in that area, at that time, no. Later, yes.
Was it very common for people, especially the householders, to buy from the black market?
Yes. Because, you see, there was the income group, well, ex-income group, you know, the high, the low, the medium and the low. I think those are the words. People who lived a good life before, the high income group, and when their standard was coming down, they had the money, they had the resources to go and buy from these people, from us, see, without us knowing. So yes, they would go there.
So would you say that customers were mainly the rich people?
No. The people who were doing bartering trade, people who were doing business themselves. But you find an odd chap or chaps going there from that high income group during the British regime, who were in running short of maybe bed sheets, or they needed bed sheets for some purpose or other, they would have gone there.
What about those from the poorer families? Would they be able to afford the black market prices?
No. As a matter of fact, they were on the verge of going on to rags. They had to live with whatever they had. And if they could, it's only those who were working and had some income who could go and buy. And they would have been a little shy to approach us, because whether they knew us or not, they were a little shy to approach us. And it was up to us to approach them and find out whether they need anything, or just chum up with them and to say, yes, I'm looking for shirts, you see, I'm working and I don't have much shirts. So okay, you hang around tomorrow, I'll get for you, or tell my friends about it, and I'll be around here about say 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock or whatever. Yeah. And if we did see them, okay, in any case, we could easily have flogged them.
What was the difference between buying from an ordinary shop and buying from a black market dealer?
Ours were more second hand, used. Theirs used, but it had been washed and ironed and maybe, you know, dressed up nicely in some bag. It looked more decent to look at. But who cared those days? They were not so keen on buying things that looked so nice, because the price invariably would have been more than what we were selling.
So would you say that was the main reason people usually bought from the black market?
Yes,
because of
difference in price, and because the quality looked good and no tears and no holes. But if they were skeptic about it and if they preferred for a few dollars more, they would go to the shop, I suppose.
Were there any other reasons why people bought from the black market rather than from the ordinary shops?
No.
The things that you were selling, were there a lot of supply of them?
No, it all depends. See, we did maybe the very most was 3 hours of black marketing there. So what we saw was only confined to an area about, say, 20 square feet. And we didn't move about too far away, because we knew that that was the spot that people would normally have to pass by, and we didn't bother so much till we had finished, and then we'll have a little post-mortem to see what went over there and who sold over there, whether they were friends of ours, what did they sell, how much did they sell it for, and that's all. So next time we might bring the same things if we could put our hands on to them.
That you sell, for example, clothing, would it be unavailable in the shops? That perhaps might be the reason why the customers.
That was one. Secondly, the second reason was the price.
Popular good among the customers?
Bedsheets could fetch a very good price, and there were always a demand for it. They were not concerned about the color, just the condition.
Earlier you mentioned that one of the reasons that people would buy from you was because of the lower prices. Most people seem to think that the prices were very much inflated because of these bad marketing activities. So how was that?
We see, we knew the market, you see. More or less, we knew the market, and there were times when, I'll tell you frankly, that I knew that my customer was in dire need of money. So, of course, we'll try and make something, but if we couldn't, we used to sell it at the customer's price. And the customer used to give us something, sometimes we should just refuse it, because we knew they were in dire need of the money for food.
So, you mentioned that you bought from the black market yourself also. Why did you approach the black market for stuff?
It so happened the items that sort of appealed to me, either for my own personal use, my house use, or I knew clients wanted them, you see. They said, Ben, when you were around there, keep your eye out for so-and-so. Well, I've never made a loss. Though I wasn't a very good businessman, but I knew that Mrs. A wanted it. So, okay, use the money that I had to buy it, after trying to make sure it was the stuff, and good stuff, and bring it over to Mrs. A and I tell her this is the price I bought it for. If you like it, you can have it. And I've never lost out. Never lost out. For some reason or other, they wanted certain things, you know, for sentimental use.
How profitable was your business?
Well, comparing the money I could make from that, from my salary as a laborer and from my work at night as a musician, for a few hours job outside in the sun meeting friends, it was very good. As a matter of fact, it topped it all. The laborer's job as well as a job as a musician.
Did it help your standard of living, this source of income?
No, we didn't bother. Whatever money we made went on for food ourselves, cigarettes, and maybe some shirts, shoes.
When did you stop carrying out these marketing activities?
When we removed from Newton to Katong.
Why did you have to stop?
Because it was too far away to come down. And I can't remember correctly, but I think I did maybe one or two trips down. That was all. It wasn't worth the while.
What about the Katong area itself? Couldn't you get the contacts to start?
I could, yes, but as I said, the thought of, you know, cycling all the way from Katong to Sungai Road, it's about 6 miles or 7 miles. And the bicycles were not inflated tires, you know, well, solid tires.
Was it possible just to start some kind of exchange of goods within the Katong area itself?
No, we never gave it a thought. To begin with, I used to come back quite late in the afternoon, and all I wanted was my lunch, a good bath. And we were too tired to go down so far. And there was nothing in that line around Katong, or Geylang, or East Coast. So there was nothing like it, you see. So I had to be content with that. And